Okay. The what we want to do differently than usual is I want to say over a mimer from a saver called Beis Yishai in celebration of Purim. I think I told you guys last year that this was a mimer that I enjoyed very much, but we didn't get a chance to do it, and since next week we'll be able to, so we're going to say it over now.
Just happy next week.
Just a quick background to the Sefer and who the author is. Shlomo Fischer is the Rosh Yeshiva of Itri in Eretz Yisrael. He is also the brother of Dayan Yisrael Yaakov Fischer, who is the head of Eidech HaRezis. And Rav Fischer is a very unique personality. He is, as was described to me once, if you want to understand what the previous generation of Gedolim are like, and their Yedias HaTorah, and their breadth of knowledge, so then Rav Fischer is a last remnant of that type of total knowledge of all areas of Torah brought together and synthesizing them together in one cohesive unit. When I was in yeshiva in Mevasara, so for a reason that was never explained to me, Rav Shlomo Fischer would come to the yeshiva once a month for Shabbos. I don't know why, but he would come and spend the Shabbos with the Israelis in the yeshiva in the Kollel, and he would speak all over Shabbos. And I would go and listen to him, and I was always struck by his knowledge of Haggadah and Halacha, bringing everything together, but specifically in Haggadah. There are two volumes. One is, they're both called Beis Yishai. One, Beis Yishai, is on Halacha and Sugas and Shas. And the other, which Fischer is more famous for, is here the Drushos Beis Yishai on the Moadim and different topics in Machshava as well. And it happens to be, of all the mamarim here, Akadosh, but the one that speaks to me the most is the Drush Lepurim Chelik Aleph, the first drusha that Rav Fischer has on Purim. And you'll see, I will say through the drusha and try to bring everything together in the best of my ability. And just to give you, you'll see a taste of what his total encompassing knowledge of Kol Torah Kula brought together to bring out what I think is an important idea for everyone in relationships to Purim. I have the Sefer in front of me, but I have notes, so it goes a little bit faster. And together we'll learn through and hear how Rav Fischer relates to the holiday of Purim. So he begins by quoting a Yalkut, the Medrash on Tehillim and Perak Kavav, where David HaMelech asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should be mentioned by the Yeshua of Purim. David HaMelech was his follower to Hashem, that he would also like to be mentioned some way in what would happen in the future when the Jewish people would be saved by Purim. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that he'll be mentioned later on when we say Ish Yehudi, and he'll be from the tribe of Yehuda, Sheva Yehuda. That'll be the remnant of David HaMelech in the Megillah. And the question begs, what does David HaMelech have to do with Purim? Why is David HaMelech so interested in Purim and what would be in the future? So it begins with the Tur. The Tur writes in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh that the Shalosh Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos, correspond to the Gimel Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and the Torah explains the corresponding nature between the three. The Gemara in Mo'ikot and Tesavav tells us that David HaMelech is the Rosh HaShalishim, that there's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and David HaMelech is somehow above them. He's like the Avos, but separate at the same time, and we're told very often in Sifrei Kabbalah and the Zohar that the Merkava, the chariot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has three legs. Three are made above the Avos, and the fourth is David HaMelech. So there's some relationship between the Avos and David HaMelech as kind of part, but separate at the same time. So he begins by just throwing out a few areas where David connects to Purim, but not the main essence, but some areas where we see that there's a connection between David and Purim and HaMelech. He notes the Zohar on Parshas Vayetze, that David is called Bedicha de Malka. He's the one who makes the Melech smile, so to speak, the union of Simcha. And in the Piyutim for Hoshana Rabbah, David is called the Chayach. He's the one who smiles. So there's a connection between the Simcha of Adar and Purim and David HaMelech. But then he goes further. There's a strong connection that David HaMelech is the opposite of Amalek and Haman. So he explains as follows, that, and it's through the relationship of Mars. In astrology, so Mars is Ma'adim in Hebrew, and he notes that the Grun Mishlei and Perichav Beis notes that David is Admoni, which is Osios, the letters of Ma'adim. Ma'adim again being Mars. And it says, Va'avdi David Nasila Hemla Olam. So the Sofei Tevos of that is Ma'adim. We see David being referenced there as well. And it says, Me'afar Dal Me'ashpos Yarim Evyon. So Rosh Tevos is Ma'adim. Again, David who says that I am Me'afar Dal, I'm the lowest of Hashem's servants. Again, hinting to Ma'adim and Mars. And Kisei David is Ma'adim in Gematria as well. On the other hand, David fights against Amalek, and he explains the gematria of Haman is Ma'adim. So we see Haman also relating to this time of Mars and David HaMelech. And the Ramban in Parshas Achrimos says that the planet of Sarush HaEsav, the astrology that corresponds to Sarush HaEsav, is Ma'adim as well, Mars. And the war against Amalek, we're told that, right, Kase Ka, that there's going to be a, that the hand of Amalek is sitting on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kisei, the Kisei of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kase Ka is Ma'adim in Gematria as well. So all these references between David being the opposite of Haman and Amalek, and this fighting over who's going to be on top. But that's not the main point. That was just the introductory idea to see that there's a comparison between the two. He begins with a Rambam in Hilchos Yontif. The Rambam in Hilchos Yontif writes in Perek Vav that the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif is to have basar and to have yayin, right? To have meat and wine. There's only one other area where we find again a mitzvah to have basar v'yayin. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Megillah in Perek Beis to have basar v'yayin on Purim as well. So he cites with Nachman Mibreslev, who notes that in Shmos Perek of Gimel we're told that on Pesach they left Mitzrayim v'lo yiru penai reikam. Right? They left Mitzrayim and don't appear before a Kadosh Baruch Hu empty-handed. And you come to the Beis HaMikdash on the Shal Shogam, you need to come with a gift for Hashem. So this Mitzrayim v'lo yiru penai reikam is Rosh HaTevos Purim. That Purim connects to the Shal Shogam. And this means that just like on the Shal Shogam we give matanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, on Purim we give matanos as well. We give matanos lev yonim. We give matanos to the poor. And we know that David represents the Aniyim, right? We offer a dal. David represents this constantly being the one who's downtrodden, the one who nobody's looking after, the one who nobody thought would be anything. So we, on Purim, give matanos to the Ani, representing David HaMelech. And on Shal Shogalim, we give matanos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash as well. The Rambam says that we have this din of basar v'yayin on the Shal Shogalim, but it's clear that the main thing of the Shal Shogalim is the basar. That's the main thing, because we know it's the korbanos. We don't have the zivchei shlomim anymore, but the main thing identified is really to have the basar, the meat of the Shal Shogalim for the korbanos. But on Purim, it's the opposite. On Purim, we know it's going to be the other way. In fact, shalosh regalim bashana is Rosh HaTevos basar. So we see even the Shal Shogalim hints the idea of having meat, and on Purim, the ikar is the wine. Before you're right, and the Gemara in Sukkah, Memtes, tells us the following. That when they pour wine onto the Mizbeach, they plug the top of the drain pipes in the Beis HaMikdash so that the wine would overflow and wouldn't go down into the deep depths of the Beis HaMikdash and disappear. They wanted to make sure the wine would be overflowing and coming out when they would pour the wine from the Nesachim for the Korbanos on top of the Mizbeach. And they would plug the drain pipes in order to fulfill which it says, that you'll pour the Nesachim with a strong sheikha, with a strong drink to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says, from where do we know that there's an inyan to plug up the drain pipes? Why would we do this? What's the point? So the Gemara says, in the name of Rav Papa, that sheikhar is an expression of drinking, of satiating, of intoxication. And in order to underscore all three aspects of the Nisach HaYayin, the space between the altar and the Mizbeach will be plugged up to show, because the inyan of sheikhar means to be overflowing, to continuous, to have a lot of something, this intoxication, a lot of wine, over and over and over again. So Rav Papa says, we see from here that when a person is full from drinking wine, that his throat is all filled with the wine. When a person drinks, the hana of the wine is in the mouth, it's in the throat. So you feel it when you drink it. As opposed to food, where wine doesn't satiate the person in your stomach, the ikar of the wine is the taste in your mouth, that overflowing sense. For a mizbeach, we plug up because the inyan of sheikhar, of nesach, is that the wine is continuously overflowing again and again and again. So he then quotes a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, tavcha tivcha, mescha yena. This is about chachma, that wisdom is considered like a prepared meat and mixed wine. Why is wisdom like prepared meat and mixed wine? So the Yalkut Mishlei says that meat refers to korbanos and wine refers to nesachim. In general, meat in the Torah refers to korbanos and wine refers to the nesachim poured on the mizbeach. So the Gemara Menachos says in Daf Chaf that the korbanos are called achilas hamizbeach. The mizbeach represents eating, not the act of drinking. The mizbeach always represents the act of eating. And the nesachim are called shesias mizbeach. The sachem, the wine libations, always represent the act of drinking differently than eating. So in Mishlei it says, L'chu lachmo belachme v'shasu, b'yein masachte. You should go and have your meat and go and drink your wine. So the Chavetz Chaim writes, as is the Vilna Gaon in his Perush on Mishlei in Perachav Dalad, that the bread refers to halacha, and wine refers to agada, musar, hashkafa. And this is the area we're going to play off each other. The mizbeach and the act of eating refers to halacha and the using of the intellect, and wine and the drinking refers to machshava, musar, hashkafa, that area as well. Totally separate ideas. So he says the difference between learning halacha and agada. Halacha requires seichel, understanding as much as you can, understanding the point. But agada, musar, is about emotions, is about becoming involved. As we've discussed here in the past, a person needs to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the heart and really feel it in a very deep, deep way, regardless of how much you understand. A person needs to connect in a real emotional way. And he says, we know that a person can intellectually know all of Sifrei Musar. You can have a person who knows every single word of Mesilas Yesharim, every single word of the Orach HaTzaddikim, but if he only knows it intellectually, but he doesn't know it in his heart, then what is he? He's a walking library, but he hasn't connected through it. The study of Musar, of Agada, needs the heart, the emotion. Halacha, that's intellectual. I have to understand what I'm doing. I have to know all the halachos, but it's not necessarily, inherently, an emotional connection. And this is because learning has to be clear, intellectual, to the point, so people aren't confused. So this distinction about the Mizbeach and eating and the intellect, and on the other hand, the Nesachim and emotions and drinking wine. So he quotes a Meshech Chachma in Parshas Bo. The Gemara Mesachim Kuf Yud Beis is very strange. The Gemara says that if you want to motivate an animal to do the right thing, it's different than what you say to an employee. When you want to get an animal to do the right thing, so you say, you know, zeh, zeh, hen, hen, da, da, all these different sounds. But when you want to get an individual, a man, to pull something, so you say ilni, hiya, hey, v'chila, chulia, all these different expressions. So the Meshech Chachma says, what's this all about? The Gemara is giving us advice about how to, you know, move our oxen around and, you know, how to get your worker to move faster. Very strange. What's going on here? So the Meshech Chachma says, he says, look at the sounds. When you talk about an animal and you want an animal to move, you repeat the same sound again and again and again. You chazer again and again and again and again. When you want a human to do something, they need different sounds, different ideas, different topics to pop into their head. The way you motivate each aspect is different. So the Meshech Chachma says, when you want to motivate the hergesh, the animal side of a person, the chelek behema of a person, you repeat the same things over and over again. When you want to access the intellect of another person, so you have to have different ideas, a different mahalach, a different knach, a different way in order to awaken the intellect to think sharper and differently. You can't always repeat the same thing over and over again. So this idea of accessing different parts says Rav Fisher as follows. He says, when we learn Musar, when we learn Machshava, what do? We repeat the same idea again and again. Rav Yisrael Salanter would always say, you repeat the same mimer, the same pasuk. Hergish means repeating, repeating, and repeating. Why? Because we want to access not the intellect, we want to access the regesh, we want to access the, not the animal part of us necessarily, but the emotional part of us. And therefore, when we learn Torah in a way that we want emotions, we repeat the same word again and again and again and again and again. When you're learning a Shugel Torah, a bit of Lundus, so you come from a different side over here, and you say it a different way, another Chakira, five different ways to understand the Chakira, all the Nafkaminas, you say it in a different way over and over again to get to the point. And he says, this is how a person gets to Avos Hashem, how it gets to Vegas, by repeating the same idea over and over and over again in this regard. Now, I haven't said over all of the footnotes. He has a lot of different footnotes, but this footnote, it's important to say over. So he quotes the Mesilas Yesharim in Perek Yud Ches, who says that mi she'ohid asabor yisparach shemo ahava anisis lo yishtadal v'yichav amiftor atzma b'mashik far mefursim v'chova. He says, when you love someone, you want to do as much as you can for them, right? If a parent asks the child for something, and the child just does exactly what the parent does, so that's very nice. But if the child does more, and he expands upon it, and he adds to it, so that shows a love, right? When you do something for your spouse, and you do exactly what she said, she tells you to go to the store and to get some milk and eggs, and you get milk and eggs, that's very nice. But if you go to the local store and get milk and eggs, and you get flowers, so that shows an exceptional love going even further. He says, when you love someone, you do more, you go beyond. And he's talking about the meaning of Avas Hashem. And you want to show your emotions to Hashem, so you go beyond. You do more. You expand. And you're as broad as possible. And Mesilas Yesharim continues. And then, he has a beautiful pshat in the Minag by Aseres Meitshuva. The Torah writes in Tafresh Gibel that by Aseres Meitshuva, what's the Minag of Klal Yisrael? That we're careful on? Pas Yisrael, right? So there's a famous question, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to trick you, right? For the rest of the days of the year, I'm not going to have Pas Yisrael. But Aseres Meitshuva, I'm going to have Pas Yisrael, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to know. I'm tricking Hashem, and everything is fine. So he says, what's going on? Or how could that possibly be? So Rav Fisher has a beautiful answer. He says that when you love someone and you want to have kirvas elokim, you want to be close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, so you act instinctively. You don't have cheshbonos. Don't tell me that I'm tricking Hashem, he says. I don't want to hear your whole explanation. Oh, but the rest of the year you didn't do it. I love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. I don't need to hear your intellectual arguments. When you love someone, you act from hergish and you expand yourself and you do as much as you can. So I want to show my love for Hashem during Aseres Meitshuva. So therefore, don't tell me, oh, but what about the rest of the year? It doesn't matter. I'm doing whatever I can. So he asks Akash at his answer. What's that? But it's barred in the
same thing.
It's barred in the postgame, right? It's one thing that I'm showing my, you know, emotions when it's instinctive and it's spontaneous. But it says in Shulchan Aruch. So where's the hergish? It says in postgame I'm supposed to do it. So he says as follows. He says that is for, he says, for the really, really special people. So those people instinctively will want to do something special during Aseres Meitshuva. He says, for the rest of us who aren't there yet, so we rely on the famous maxim of the Sefer Achinuch, Acher HaPa'ulos Nimshach HaLevavos, that through actions and through doing these types of things during Aseres Meitshuva, eventually we'll come to that place where we want to show our love for Hashem. But the Nakuda, the Yisod of what we do during Aseres Meitshuva, is to show that it's all emotion. There's no intellect. And therefore, don't tell me your cheshbon about, oh, but what about the rest of the year? Because we want to do what we can for a Kadosh Baruch Hu at that time. So that's his side points into that, how we show our Avas Hashem. But nevertheless, we see from the Meshech Chachma that in order to access emotion and hergish of a person, you repeat the ideas again and again and again, like we do when it comes to Agada and Musar and Machshava. So he goes on to explain that animals have instincts, but very little intellect, right? There may be an elephant who knows how to do math by, you know, stamping his foot, but that's not most people. Humans have intellect, but our instincts are generally much lower down. We try to access from our mind or work from our head more than our heart. He says, but a smart human being, a real gon, a real special human being, will use intuition. What's intuition, he says? He says, intuition is a mix of intellect and instinct, where you can access both together, to use the heart and the mind in order to make the best decisions. And he explains there's two types of speech, for example. There's prose, where a person speaks in logical sentences with a beginning, a middle, of an end, and it's logically thought out, and you know what you're going to say, and you get to the point, and you wrap it up. That's one way a person speaks. But the other type is poetry, song, where a person accesses and uses his emotions and his heart in order to communicate. He says when a person speaks in prose, you want it to have a beginning, a middle, of an end, right? That's the way it's supposed to be. But when a person sings a song, or a person reads poetry, is it good if it's logical from beginning to end? He says, no. Poetry, the whole point of poetry, the whole point of song, is that it stems from the heart, that it simply overflows. And if I repeat myself 100 times when I'm saying a poem or singing a song, does anybody critique me? No, of course not. Because the whole point of the song is to show it comes from the heart, and I'm not getting involved with my brain and ruining it. This is not a chisarn of a poet if he repeats himself again and again. It's not a chisarn of a song if he repeats the same idea again. It's a shvach, the same idea. When you speak from the heart, you repeat, and you repeat, and you repeat in order to drive the point home. So then he moves on to a tshuva of the Panim Iros and Siman Lamed Tes. The Panim Iros asks, why we say Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? It's repetitive, right? What should we say? Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. That would obviously save space in Shmoneh Esrei. Why do we say again and again and again, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? So the Panim Iros gives a famous answer that we want to show what? That each of the Avos had their own unique connection to Hashem. That Yitzchak didn't simply copy what his father did, and Yaakov didn't simply copy what his father and grandfather did. Each one access the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a different intellectual path. Avram had his chap and why there's a Borei Olam. Yitzchak has his approach to why there's a Borei Olam. And Yaakov had his approach to why there's a creator of the world. And he explains that we want to show this idea. They didn't simply piggyback off of the person who came before them. And this makes sense. Why? Because the Avos represent the intellect. The avos represent seeing a Kadosh Baruch in the world, seeing Yad Hashem. Not that they didn't have Hergesh, but their whole M.O. was using their intellect to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is the Amun of Klal Yisrael. Rashi writes in Parshas Pinchas that the three animals that were used for Kabbalahs in the Mizbeach, the par, the cow, the isle, the ram, and the kevos, the sheep, corresponds to the avos. So what do we see here? That the avos represent the Mizbeach and the Karbanos, the eating of the food, the intellect, doing it keseder, not so much hergesh, using the mind and using the achila, the act of eating, and the Mizbeach, and all those things together to connect to Hashem through the intellect in that fashion. However, and that fits for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. That's what those holidays are about, to use the mind and to use the brain to connect to Hashem in that regard. But he says Purim is all about David HaMelech and the Zmiros of the Jewish people and the emotions. Ad Delo Yada. What does it mean, Ad Delo Yada? That a person reaches a point where they don't use their intellect anymore on Purim. Ad Delo Yada, that I don't know anymore about Haman and Mordechai and those things, that I have access to the point of using my heart and using my regesh and using what's inside of me in order to connect to Hashem. He says, Amalek is gematria safek. That's a well-known gematria, that Amalek is gematria safek. And he quotes the Tzaddik Milechovich, who notes that Moshe raised his hands above his head when fighting Amalek. Why? Because he wanted to show that in order to fight Amalek, you need to go beyond the Seichel. So therefore, Moshe raised his hands above his head to show that when you're fighting Amalek, which is a special type of enemy, you need to use your hergesh, you need to use your heart, you need to use your lave in order to defeat them in that ongoing battle, midor lador. And he says, the zechus of the avos helped us in Mitzrayim, right? Mitzrayim is all about zechus avos and the brisi with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and all the covenants. He says, that was the fight over then, but now the fight going into the future with Amalek is using our heart, inspiring our avodas Hashem with a bren and a fire in order to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He also notes, by the way, that the gematria of Yad is David. And therefore, David, the Yad, is above the Seichel, that you put your hands above the intellect in order to speak with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Then he continues that the Shalosh Shogalim have the Simcha of Basar, and Achila Shal Torah, which is intellectual. But Purim is the drinking of wine, the drinking of Torah, which is Agada and Musar, which comes through the emotions and the heart. And he says, in fact, the Gemara in the end of Megillah says that you prepare 30 days before the Regalim, right? You shloshim and karim lechag, you have to prepare for the holidays. So what do? The halacha is that you learn halachos of the Regalim. Before Pesach, you learn Hilchos Pesach, and before Sukkot, you learn Hilchos Sukkot, and before Shavuos, you learn Hilchos Shavuos. That's the halacha should be in Shulchan Aruch. But in the beginning of Megillah and Daf Dalad, it says that when Purim falls on Shabbos, you should learn Binyano Shal Yom. What does that mean, Binyano Shal Yom? What's my preparation for Purim? So says Rashi, Binyano Shal Yom means, against the Rambam, that they would darshan the Megillah. When you prepare for Purim, not that you don't need to know Hilchos Megillah, but when you prepare for Purim, you prepare by learning the drashas, the chazals, the agadata, the musar, the hashkafa of Purim. The preparation for Purim is a different type of preparation. The main focus is to access the lathe and the heart for Purim. So therefore, you hear the drashas, and you hear the musar, and you hear the stories, and you read the Megillah to get ready. By Pesach, you got to know about the chametz, and by Shavuos, you got to know about Kabbalah Satorah. But those ways are access to the intellect and the mind. Purim, the preparation, comes through the heart in a very different way. He goes on to explain the numerical value of the life of the avos. All added up together, 175, 180, 147, is 502, gematria, basar, the mizbeach. So we see the avos also connecting to the mizbeach, and he said the numerical value of the life of David is 70, gematria of yayin. So as we see as well, the life according to yayin. This now explains the Gemara in Sukkot and Gimel that says that David HaMelech dug the drain pipes that carried the Nesachim. Who cares that David HaMelech dug the drain pipes through the Nesachim? Why? Because David HaMelech is connected to the Nesachim. The wine, the musar, the hergesh, the heart that comes through the repetition over and over and over again. He continues. The Magen Avraham writes in Tafri Tzadiyei. He says, Chai v'nish l'vesumei b'poya adalo yada bein ar haman l'baruch Mordechai. So there's many, many different explanations of how drunk that means a person should or should not be. Obviously, one certainly can follow the Ramah, who says to take a little bit of wine and take a nap. You certainly won't know. One can follow the other Rishon literally, who says to mean to drink to a certain point. So the Magen Avraham brings the beautiful explanation that you can't figure out the gematrias anymore between Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai, because the gematrias are the same. the gematria of Baruch Mordechai is the same as Ar Haman. So you should drink enough so that you can't add up that math anymore, which I think for most people is probably not that much. So therefore, that's the halacha according to the Magen Avraham. But we see over here that it's also the gematria of Basar. The gematria of Ar Haman or Baruch Mordechai is 502. Gematria Basar. So therefore, says Rav Fisher as follows. You should drink on Purim ad lo yad until you don't know about Basar anymore. You should drink on Purim until you've left the intellect, where you're all heart and all emotion, and therefore Basar is not an Indian anymore. It's all about the Yayin and the heart and connecting to Hashem, and we engage with the Tamimus, the emotions of David HaMelech, until we all become David HaMelech on Purim, where we can sing to Hashem and connect to Hashem in such a beautiful way. He then continues with the Sfas Emes. Listen to the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes notes that Chazal tells in the Megillah, it says, La Yehudim Haisa'ora V'Simcha V'Sosin Yikar, right? At the end of the Megillah, they had all these wonderful things. So Chazal say that it means they had Torah, they had Yantif, they had Mila, and they had Tefillin, right? So ask the Sfas Emes. So if they had Torah, and they had Yantif, and they had Mila, and they had Tefillin, why did the Megillah just say that La Yehudim Haisa Torah, the Yantif, the Mila, the Tefillin? Why do you have to say in this way all these different definitions and explanations of happiness? Why just not say out what the Jews had and what they were so happy about? So the Sfas Emes says, because the Geula and the Yeshua and the rejoicing that the Jewish people felt at that time when they performed these mitzvos led them to feel over the Simcha V'Sasun Yikar. Meaning the main thing was not the fulfillment of the mitzvah, not the intellectual access to the mitzvah, but the emotions they had when they fulfilled the mitzvah. And therefore the Megillah says, at the end of the day, after Purim was all done and over, the most important thing we got out of it was that they felt simcha, they felt joy when fulfilling mitzvahs, they felt happy when they were doing mitzvahs. And therefore that's why the Megillah says, because those performances of Yantif, Mila, Torah, and all these different things were ways to get to those emotions and connect to Hashem. And therefore, the Megillah is not telling us a nice vort or a nice pshat about how the Jews acted, but rather, the ikar was that they felt these emotions at the end of the day. The Tepasik in Tehillim says in Perek Samech Vav, Harkav te'enosh l'roshenu, banu ve'eshu v'mayim, v'totzenu l'rivaya. That we went through all these different things and all these issues at the end of the day, and we escaped l'rivaya. We had rivaya, some sort of expansion at the end of the day. So the Gemara in the Gilead Aleph says that you brought us out into this abundance, this Rivaya. That was the days of Haman. The time we experienced Rivaya was in the days of Haman. The only other time the word Rivaya appears in all of Tanakh is in Tanakh, when David HaMelech says, Tishanta v'shevet roshi kosi Rivaya. David HaMelech is the one who understands the Rivaya, the abundance that came from Purim. So therefore it makes sense that the only two times you find the word Rivaya is by David HaMelech and Purim. Obviously they're connected to one another. The Maharsha writes in the Gemara and Yuma, Rivaya is a lashon of shikras, of drinking. So David HaMelech and Purim and the Megillah of wine and the aspect of the hergish and the heart and the lave all coming together once again. It makes sense that the shikras of Purim connects to David HaMelech. We'll end with one more Maimar Chazal. The Gemara in Sota Daf Mem records that Rav Abahu and Rav Chiya Bar Abba happened to come to a certain place. They arrived in the town. So Rav Abahu taught in that town in Yoni Agada. He gave a nice Musar Shmuz, and he said over a nice Vort, a nice Divrei Torah. And the same time, Rav Chiya Bar Abba in another shul gave a whole Lamdisha Halacha Shir. Halacha Lamaisa, very practical. So everyone left the shiur that Rav Chiya Bar Abba was giving, and they went to Rabbi Abahu, give his drasha, his musar, his whole hashkafa, his darshanus. So Rav Chiya Bar Abba was offended. Everybody left my halacha shiur to go hear the darshan down the street. So Rav Abahu said to him, to appease him, he said, I want to give you a mashal. What's this compared to? It's compared to two people. One person who sells very, very precious stones and diamonds and expensive watches, you know, Lamborghinis, very, very expensive types of things, and a person who sells small little chashkas. Who are people going to line up to go buy from? The person who sells chashkas. Why? Because most people can't afford or access these very impressive things. So they buy the things they can afford. So he says, me, you sell Lamborghinis. You sell very important halachas and lumdus, the very, very high levels of Torah. You're on the Mount Everest of Talmud Torah. Really the ikkar, the pinnacle of what Torah should be, about using your mind to connect to Hashem. I sell nice ideas, good vorlach, to make people feel good, to make people connect to Hashem. And therefore, don't be feel so bad, because you really have the key to the better stuff. I'm connecting to the people in my way. This is the meat of David HaMelech, says Fisher, to involve ourselves with the Hergish. You hear the Musar Shmuz. The Musar Shmuz is good. It's not the Iker. You can't hear Musar Shmuz all day. You got to sit with the Gemara, you got to sit with the Mishavura, know Halacha L'maisa, know the right thing to do. But for most people, for the Hamonam, the way to connect to Hashem is through the emotion. And this is the idea, that the Hamonam connects to Hashem, and therefore this is David, who's the man of the people who use one Sefer more than any other Sefer in Tanakh when they want to connect to Hashem, Tehillim. When you go on to connect to Hashem, you open up a Tehillim. You don't open a Sefer Vayikra. Not that you shouldn't open a Sefer Vayikra. But the main thing is we open up a Tehillim because we want to use our hearts, outpour our heart to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David HaMelech, the one who brings it all together. And this is what it means at the end of the day, when David HaMelech says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to be mentioned by Purim. Because David HaMelech and Purim, they go together hand in hand. They're one thing. They work together perfectly. And his request was fulfilled hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of times over, since Purim corresponds to David HaMelech in so many different ways. And just to bring his ideas together one more time, David HaMelech and wine and the Mizbeach and the Nesachim with the Agada and the repetition and the emotions and the heart as on one side, and that's the Avoda of Purim. On the other side comes by the Shalosh Regalim is the Avos and the eating and the Achila and the Mizbeach and using the intellect and the Halachos and the Lumdus of Torah. And that's for its own place. When it comes to Purim, this is the Avoda. And one Avoda of Purim is to connect to our emotions. There are certainly other Avodas of Purim, but one Avoda of Purim is to connect to our emotions. And that path comes through learning Agada, Drush, Musar, preparing by learning the Megillah, reading the Mefarshim, until these ideas penetrate our hearts and our essence. But that path can be helped through, in the proper way, a proper amount of a little bit of alcohol, a little bit of way to open up the heart, to expand one's mind, so to speak, and to use that in a proper way. That should be the way of a mitzvah. Shnat mekechil Hashem. Each person should know themselves in the best way in order to use this in the service of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In a way, relaxing our intellect on Purim and connecting to our emotions to allow us to remove the sfeikos that sometimes hold us back from the Kadosh Baruch Hu. However, to make one point clear, Torah is the ikar. Limud Torah is the ikar. Halacha is the ikar. The Gemara is the Iker, the Torah Shavah is the Iker. Without a foundation of Seichel, of Torah, then all these other things are going to be meaningless. The person who accesses emotions needs to have the foundation. Remember, Purim's only one day out of the year. There's all the other holidays as well, which we do use our mind, and we do connect to Torah in a serious way. And one shouldn't drink or engage in Chachmas HaTorah, or the aspects of the Torah that are not for them. Just to bring a Raya, the Rambam writes in Hechos Maisa Karbonos and Perakid Beis, V'lo HaNesach HaMa'ach V'nes HaZemach. Okay? The Sachem are not Ma'akav the Korban. But the Korban is Ma'akav the Zevach, right? If I don't have the wine by the Korban, I can make it up another time, I can bring it later on. But if I don't even have a Korban, then you can't just bring wine to the, you can't bring wine to the Mizbeach. So the foundation is the Korbanos and the Mizbeach and the Avos, the intellect. But in order to help us along for one day a year, we try to access the emotions and connect to Hashem through the Midah of David HaMelech.